Amen. You may find your seats, please. And as we start, if you came in after the welcome and beginning of the service, my name is Jared. I am the pastor here at Pine Grove Baptist Church, and it truly is an honor to be worshiping with you. If you're a guest with us, our only request of you today is to stop by our guest service desk in the church foyer. A small gift has been prepared for you and your family out of our appreciation to be worshiping with you. There's no catches, there's no gimmicks, there's no random stranger showing up your door this afternoon with cookies and baked goods. That's not how we roll. You'll get a text message of encouragement, but just, wanted to say thank you. Welcome to, again, 2024, our first Sunday in this new year. I have a special word for you and I today. Before we begin, though, may I just make a couple of reference points and ask of your prayer. If you're a man and you identify as a man, welcome. We are having a men's associational dinner Thursday, January the 18th. You're invited to participate. It's going to be a steak dinner. Again, the association is holding it, but it will be placed at the First Baptist Church of Chiefland. There's a guest speaker coming in, an accomplished bass fisherman, to give his testimony. I wanted to make that aware for you men as we begin 2024. Take seriously your faith, your leadership over your family. Connect with other men and grow. If you're interested in participating, see myself, see our staff, contact the church office. We'll get you in the right direction. That's coming up here in just a few weeks. As we start, and before we even hit into the sermon, I've been asked to pray over two matters. One, Pastor Emmanuel Harris, his grandson Hayden, was having seizures this morning. I believe Hayden's a fourth grader, fifth grader, I'm not sure, but it scared the parents. He is en route to Shands. They've asked for our prayers over Hayden. And then I was also notified earlier this morning by Miss Pam Santiano, or Pam Farner, recently. Her ex-husband passed away tragically last night, asking for prayers there. So as we start our service, I'm going to invite you to pray with me, if you're able to bow your head, and let's go to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our prayers. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this day that you have made, the first of the year, the first Sunday in 2024. I pray our eyes are opened, our ears are prepared, the heart is ready to receive the truth that you have prepared for us today. I lift up in prayer Hayden and these seizures that are attacking his body. I pray for the physician team that will be around him to administer care. Holy Spirit, fall and minister, comfort the family. I pray for Miss Pam and her ex-husband and the boys that are facing loss of a dad. I pray for the peace, the comfort that comes out of you, Holy Spirit, at this time. Minister to them. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you move and reign this morning. I pray that we feel your presence so real that we leave this place and we can say in the affirmative, I have been in the presence of the living God. We rebuke and bind any evil activity in the name of Jesus Christ, and only the Holy Spirit can move and minister today. We love you, Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. As we start again this morning, typically I preach in a series. Today is a standalone series that I first received and preached to the Union Baptist Church back in October. So if you were there, you get kind of deja vu part two. The vast majority of you were not there, so listen carefully. I do believe the Holy Spirit has a special instruction for you and I this morning. But as we begin 2024, we come prepared to be encountered with the living God. And I start this morning with a pastor that was called to the funeral home to administer the funeral of a dear loved one. Carl's mom passed away, and Pastor and Carl were talking at the front of the chapel. Carl's mom was in the casket. The pastor's back was turned, and he was speaking to Carl. As they're in conversation and encouragement, Carl's like, Pastor, mama's moving. To which pastor's like, there ain't no way unless this funeral director goofed up the... No, where's Mr. Bruce? Here we go. That didn't happen. So out of trepidation, the pastor turns, and to his amazement, mama's moving in the casket. To which Carl says, Pastor, what is going on? And immediately, theologically, the pastor says one of two things. Either the rapture is starting or we're experiencing an earthquake. Utter fear. Calming Carl down, the funeral director comes in and explains to the pastor and to Carl, hey, it was an earthquake some miles away. We are experiencing the tremor. That's all good. So then he looks to Carl and says, "Carl, it was just an earthquake, but looking at your mama, she's still pretty shooken up." I don't know. Church humor, just laugh and appease me, right? The shaking up. Oh, how we start 2024. And my prayer over you and our church is that God would shake us up. That we would experience a fresh, a new, a reviving of this one named Jesus Christ in the spirit that he gave upon his ascension into heaven. That we meet this God in the real sense, an appreciation, a humbling of holiness and godliness, of righteousness and obedience to the word of God. That there is a conviction over sin in the way we live our lives. Oh, that we would be shaken, aroused from the apathy that plagues the New Testament church. The dormancy, the stagnation, the like, "Oh, shucks, it's Sunday. Should we go to church? Should we sleep in? I don't know." May those attitudes fall away and God breathe something new into our lives this morning. When something new occurs, when we experience God in a fresh and new way, it is exciting. If you've never experienced, and I would dare say one of the most invigorating, challenging, scary, but exciting times when the living God interrupts your life and you are in the presence and you know that you know God's working on you. Some of you are like, "What are you talking about? I've been a believer for decades and I've never had that experience." Oh, my friend. May this year be the year that you seek and you meet and you experience God in a fresh and new way. Let me give you the temptation. Let me drop this on you. When you meet and you experience God in a fresh and new way, the temptation is to take what was new and put it back into what is familiar and comfortable and the routines that you know and you succeed in. But may I challenge you, when the new arrives, a new container must be made and prepared for what God is doing. I want to show you from the Word of God what Jesus said about this new and this new container. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, New Testament book of Luke, chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 33 through 39 together with you. I'm not reading out of the New King James Translation. Your translation may be different. You may not even have a Bible this morning. It's going to be on the overhead behind us, but I pray that you listen carefully to what Luke writes about this new experience. Beginning in verse 33, "Then they said to him is Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in these days." And then Jesus drills down, and he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And you don't put new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new and says, 'Man, that old is so much better.' New wine is required to be put into new wine skins." I'll explain more the context of what is circling around Jesus' remarks. But we start this morning looking and asking, what in the world does it mean of wine skins and wine? Before I answer that question, may I just clarify for you and us, as we're starting together, Jesus speaking in this parable and this chapter of Luke chapter 5 wasn't really talking about wine and cloth patches and wine skins. He was simply using this as a parable or an illustration describing the greater purpose that Jesus came for. You see, Jesus's critics did not like the fact that Jesus hung out with those folks. You know those folks. Rabbit ears. We don't want our daughters dating those boys. We don't want our daughters running with those girls. I don't want to be sitting by those people in the cafeteria. I got a work colleague that's, however you describe it, those people Jesus was dying for. He came for those people. He came for you and I. But the critics, the religious establishment, did not like the fact that Jesus was doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. If you're new to church and you're like, well, why else would he come? Shouldn't he have appeased the religious people? Heavens, no. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came not to reestablish the rules and the regulations of Judaism, but he came that you and I might experience the forgiveness of our sins through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that you and I could have a real and intimate relationship with the God of this universe. Let's just pause for a moment and contemplate the fact that Jesus came to do what no man has ever done. And that you, as a mere mortal, can have an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. If that sounds like bonkers, if that sounds like a bunch of wackadoo, you're in the right place. Because Satan has deceived you far too long, and the truth be stated, God loves you, and you're here today about this relationship with Jesus Christ. But back to the new wine stuff. Us Baptists, we don't partake in the wine much, do we? Or rather, you may, I don't. But wine, in our biblical sense, was not kept in decorative wine bottles and a vineyard and all the trapper trees that we go to in, on our play dates. Wine was made and then was placed into a wine skin. It was a pig's bladder that they would sew the outsides and place the brand new wine into a fresh wineskin. Now, Pastor, why would they place, why can't they use their old wineskin? What's the deal? I didn't know this, but some of you that are in the practice of home brewing, you've discovered that the fermentation of alcohol, grapes, or whatever, it bubbles and it expands. So if you place your precious hard juice of the vine in an old, brittle, and dry wineskin, guess what's going to happen? It's going to burst, and all that work you've done will be running on the floor, and the dogs get to get happy that afternoon. So you know that you need to place new wine into new wine skins. That's the instructions of Jesus. These people knew about this idea. It's not a novel idea. They understood, but Jesus is reminding from a very practical sense that new wine must be placed into new wineskins. I don't want you to miss this. Jesus really isn't talking about the holes in your jeans and the wine you placed in the wineskins. Jesus is speaking about your heart. See, when the freshness comes, when the new wine begins to run, when you have an encounter with the living God and you come over with conviction and you're pursuing righteousness and holiness and obedience, you need to prepare in your hearts the reception of this new gift, Jesus Christ and the fresh touch of God. The temptation, as mentioned previously, is to take the new wine and throw it back into the old wineskins. To take what you've been doing and then the new arrives and try to fit it back in your already pre-planned, determined lifestyle. May I say 2024, may you just take that lifestyle and wad it up and drop a 3 like my boy Kobe and get rid of that. And open that page, though we are 7 days into this year, and say, God, what do you want to do? I want to experience you in such a way that I am desperate for your touch. I am desperate for your intervention. I am desperate for your voice. But when it comes, may my heart, may my wineskins be ready to receive. To that event, I want to give you 3 encouragements. You might take what I'm saying and just say, that's a bunch of baloney. I'm good where I am. And that's fine. Respectfully, I feel like you're missing. But if you're taking serious this instruction to experience God new, 3 encouragements as you walk and you adjust to this new wineskin, this new heart that is beating within you. First and foremost, I want to encourage you with this, that God will use you despite your reputation. This really is kind of going out to the doubter and the skeptic. For you that are in the room and you're like, I'm just here celebrating the baptism of Miley or Madison. I'm kind of just here because I'm starting my new year with my new girl, and my new girl invited me to church. I don't want to be that guy at the beginning of the relationship that looks like a, you insert the word, trying to impress somebody. I don't know where you're doing, but I want you to hear this for the doubter, the skeptic, the person that believes I cannot be used by God in any significant way. There's no way that I deserve a clean slate. If anyone's out of mulligans and do-overs, it's me, bro. Respectfully, you're wrong. Because God is a God of third and fourth and fifth, and the chances come forward as he is pursuing you and trying to help you understand that he loves you and has more than what you're doing for yourself. Let's see what the text. Fall back with me, Luke chapter 5. We're going to run our fingers back, kind of rewind the text messages, and find ourselves in verse 27. The encouragement is that God can use you, yes, you, despite your reputation and past. We find these words, Luke chapter 5, verse 27, down through 29. And these things, after these things, what are these things? For just a moment, for contextual references, we open up chapter 5, and Jesus picks four dudes that had no business being a part of the discipleship team. They were fishermen, sailors. Some of you got, okay. So he picks those four men, and then Jesus drops some healing on a leper, which socially outcast. Then he picks up this paralyzed man and says, do you want to walk or you want your sins forgiven? How about this? I'll do it both. And he ticked off. He ticked off the religious establishment. And then he turns his attention to this guy named Levi. Watch what happens. After these things, he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So Levi left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. Then Levi gave Jesus a great feast in his own house, and Levi invites a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Encouragements as you are experiencing a new wineskin and this new wine that will run, this fresh encounter with the living God. God will use you despite your reputation. Point example is our boy Levi. Others refer to him as Matthew. If you don't know anything about this man named Levi, he was probably statistically the number one candidate that would not be worthy of an invitation to walk and follow Jesus. Like he had no business picking up and going. He was worse than those fishermen and those sailors. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Why are you being so mean to Levi? Because the text tells us he was a tax collector. I don't know if you work for the IRS, but man, I pity you. Nobody likes the letter in the mail from the U.S. government identifying, hey, you owe us some dinero. Nobody's happy about that. Levi was a tax collector, so you're like, good. He majored in accounting or finance. He's good with numbers. Yeah, that's well and good. But typically, contextually, the position was housed by a Jew who then sold themselves, kind of rabbit ears, gave up to the Roman Empire. So really, he's in allegiance to Rome, but he's ripping off his countrymen. When you passed the tax collector's booth, it wasn't just a straightforward, hey, this is the taxes owed. He would mark up. He would kind of put his fingers on the scale, if you will. Hey, the book says 10, but I'm going to charge you 20, and there ain't nothing you can do. Respectfully. So give me your money, shut your mouth, and keep on walking. They were despised, these tax collectors, these sinners, because they ripped people off. My passion gets a little hot when you rip me off of my money. So I understand when Luke's like, he picked who? Yo, what are you doing, Jesus? A tax collector. We can even go as far as to say he was a social leper. He was spiritually bankrupt because he sold his soul to sin and greed. Levi had no business walking with Jesus. But Jesus looked beyond his reputation, and Jesus said, Levi, follow me. I don't want you to miss this. The way Jesus treated Levi then is the same way Jesus treats you now. And specifically for you that are the doubter, the skeptic, you've burned up your chances, the bridges are long gone. Understand this, the way Jesus experienced and treated Levi is the same way Jesus is asking you to be treated today, with love and respect. God will use you despite your reputation. I'm going to just drop this real to you. It's not on the PowerPoint, but just a question, and you chew on it as you will. Could it be, kind of possibility, could it be that Jesus wants to use your shady past to reach people in the future? Could it be you've taken too many dings because you have messed up? And there's some other words we could say, but not in the pulpit right now. We just know you're that dude or that woman that just can't get it right. But could it be that you are finding freedom in Jesus Christ and that Jesus wants you to look back to your past, not to be beaten up by it, but to go back to those same folks that you were running with and say, Jesus changed my life. Look what he has done. May I speak into your life and take you where you can go through Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't waste those experiences. Don't waste your past. There's too many people that need what you found, Jesus Christ. God can use you despite your reputation. New wineskins and new wine. It won't be easy. But it will be worth it. For the skeptic and the doubter, God loves you. He will use you right where you are. Moving forward, though, a second encouragement. Be encouraged. New wineskins invite new criticisms. I know there's some Swifties in the audience. If you don't know what that is, you need to get yourself cultured. Some Taylor Swift fans that recognize haters are going to hate. I thought that would go over a little bit better. Like, your pastor got a little bit of culture swag. Well, that didn't go over so well. Haters are going to hate. Criticism are going to rise when you start walking in your new wineskin. Let's see this. Luke chapter 5, 29 and 30. We read it again. Then Levi gave a great feast in his own house, and there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them, and their scribes and the Pharisees complained, criticized, threw some shade against the disciples of Jesus, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Oh, can you just imagine? You've just experienced an invitation by Jesus Christ. He says, "Follow me." You drop everything, most importantly, your livelihood, your economics, your income, and you follow after this man named Jesus. You are so overwhelmed, you are so moved, you throw the ultimate house party. But you have no church friends to invite because you haven't been running in church. So who do you invite to the house party? Your boys, your friends. Your other tax collectors, the sinners around, and you throw an all-out banger for Jesus Christ. And Jesus is so moved, he's sitting down and enjoying the fellowship with these no-good people. And then in the window, these creepers, I don't know if it was a window or not, but what business? The Sadducees are the Pharisees and the scribes that Luke records. You can just say the religious people. Let's put it in very simple terms, those church people. You know about those church people. Those church people look in the window and they have enough sense to go to the party, but they're not enjoying the party. But they're going to stop on the outside and throw their shade, their criticism, the hate that you have the audacity to sit down with tax collectors and sinners. Who are you? Where is your conviction for holiness and righteousness and the things of God? They're probably holding a fat King James Bible and doing like this. We love King James. But you know what I'm talking about. Those church people. Levi is excited because of his encounter with Jesus. The new wine is flowing. His heart is growing. The wineskin is there. But man, the criticism begins to fall. As you walk in a new wineskin, please be prepared. And I know you really can't prepare for this. It's like going to the doctor to get your teeth pulled. How do you prepare for that? You just need to know it's going to hurt. When the criticisms begin to fall, don't back up. Don't shut up. Don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing. God will use you and through this. Some folks did not like the fact that Jesus was hanging out with those people. Let me read this to you. The more you become passionate about Jesus, the more you become serious about reaching lost people, the more you seek obedience to the Word of God, the brighter your light burns, the more the criticism will flow your way. May I just say this to you? May we not give a darn, if I can say that in the pulpit, of what you think about me as I'm walking with Jesus Christ. Too long we have lived as a slave to the impression and the opinions of those around us. It's high time in 2024 to give respectfully. I don't give a rip, buddy, that you don't like the fact that I'm a Jesus freak, that I'm running with some church friends these days, that I'm not going to the bar and acting a fool, burning all my money, drinking it down, and killing my liver. I'm doing some things different. I'm going to be home with my family, not chasing whatever you chase in the absence of your duties, fathers and mothers. We do some things differently because God has touched us and we're walking with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Come on, man, you bunch of tooties. I don't know what they say about you. I've heard those things all my life, and it's good sometimes. Sometimes it hurts, but it's going to hurt. It hurts. It cuts it deep. May I say this over our church, and if you're not a part of our church, we welcome you to be a part of this faith family, but if you're not, take this back to your church. May we walk under the mantle that you're going to hate on me, but you're going to hate for our respect of people who are different from us. May this place, right where you're sitting, may this be the very room that people that have no business that need being at church, they come into this place and they get the self-dignity and the respect, a handshake, a high five, a cup of coffee, an invitation to sit by me, even if they smell like Jack Daniels. You're welcome in this place. We will be a church that respects every man, woman, and child. Hate on us if you will. Respect will run freely. What about this? Hospitality. That we would not be that stuffy Baptist church that you got to dress like us and act like us and vote like us and go to the same social clubs, that everybody can be welcome in this place at Pine Grove Baptist Church. We could have constitutional offers and ex-convicts sitting next together on the same pew, lifting their hands to Jesus because it's a place of hospitality. May we be those people that are hyper committed to the obedience to God's word. May we not be those, and I don't have anybody, may take that out of context. May we be the people that are committed to the word of God. And right is right, and wrong is wrong, and the Word of God does not make any bones or misses the words of what He expects of the children of God. And we don't back up, shut up, or apologize for the truth contained in the Word of God. You're going to hate on us. Pick anything, but these are some staples that we will stand upon 2024. Haters are going to hate. Welcome the criticism as you experience new wine in a new wineskin. Number three, encouragement number three, we're wrapping up. New wineskins implies change. You're like, duh. No, you missed it. New wineskins means there has been a change. Let me give you some changes that you experience. A new phone. Those of you that are north of 55, it is like heart surgery trying to figure out that new device, and you're asking your 12-year-old niece or nephew to figure this thing out. It won't even make a phone call. Yet you have a new phone, right? It's awkward and it's challenging, but then you get to working with it and you can figure it out. Hey, you get new shoes, a new pair of boots, and they're stiff and they don't work like the old ones and they rub your feet and I don't like them, but man, I need them. New shoes, I'm starting a new school. I had the privilege, and I say that sarcastically, of moving with a pastor's family to like three different elementary schools. So I was a new kid a lot. Like, well, good for you. It created your character. No, It was hard. Nobody likes being the social outcast at recess when nobody knows you and they don't pick you to play the sports, or you walk in the cafeteria and you don't know where to sit because everybody has their cliques. New schools are hard. Going into college is hard. Starting a new job is hard. A new diet. Let's get real. We all made that January 1, and we're 7 days in, and we blew that sucker up. Forget the diet. Diets are hard. We want the change, and we want the lifestyle, and we want the body, but hey, who wants to give up these delicious, very bad for us foods? New girlfriend, new boyfriend, a new baby. A baby changes everything. Man, those sleepless nights and that little joker's not shutting their mouth, and you're like, God, why did you do this? And they turn to be teenagers, and they just step off in the deep end. Oh, my gosh. New is exciting, but it's also unfamiliar. It's challenging. It's strange. It's different. And oftentimes, when it gets hard, we go back to what we know. Though we like to think about the new, the reality is we resist change. Let me show you in the text. I'm not just making this stuff up. Luke chapter 5, verses 37 through 39, we find these words. Again, they're in red, which means Jesus is speaking. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both the wine and the wineskin are preserved. And then verse 39, no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says, man, the old sure is better. New wineskins implies change. There is something in people that is both attracted to and at the same time afraid of the new and the novel. Jesus understood that, well understood that, as evidenced in verse 39. He knew that people would tend to gravitate back to the things that are familiar and comfortable, and leaving the new that he just gave. I feel that is a fear and a reality of most Baptist churches. Yo, Pastor, why are you picking on Baptists? Because we're a Baptist church. I got no business picking on Methodists or Catholics or Presbyterians or Church of Christ. I'm not one of those. But I am a Baptist. And I've been a Baptist for a long time. And I know Baptists don't like change. Hey, we're on the same page. And if you're not a Baptist, welcome to our place, man. You give us some life and help us to embrace some of the things that God is calling us to do, the new wine and the new wineskins. Can I tell you some of the famous last words of a Baptist church? Kind of just pick on Baptist Day, right? Here it is. We've never done it that way before. Man, seven last words of a dying church. We've never done that, Pastor. We just don't do that here, Pastor. That's not really what, bless your heart. And you're laughing, either because you've been there or because you know somebody that experienced that. May we not be those people in 2024 that God is knocking at the door of our hearts and he is begging you to open the door so the new wine can rush in, and you're standing there and the river's flowing and you're saying, golly jiggers, God, that sure is messy. What are we going to do with all this spilling in the church? I thought, why are you talking like a country kid? I don't know. That's what Baptists sound like. I'm stopping. I don't know. Luke chapter 5 and verse 39. No one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for they say the old is better. Jesus realized that many people are content with the old wine, and they don't even want to try the new wine. They say the old is good enough for us. And they leave out the best that's in front of them. Man, 2024. And I'm not just saying this as your optimistic, energetic pastor. I am really believing that 2024, the doors are going to be blown off this place in a very healthy and polite way. Amen. Like, we're not going to understand what's happening, But as the children of God that are pursuing the obedience of the Word of God, the Spirit of God is free to move in this place. The people of God are being the hands and feet of God, and Jesus wants to birth spiritual children into this place. When these things begin to happen, may we not say, man, what's going on? I liked it when... May we say, thank you, God. Prepare my heart to move forward in this season that you've called us to serve in. I finish with two statements. One's on the PowerPoint. I ask this question. Does how you live show God that you actually believe what you claim to believe? Does how you live show God that you actually believe what you claim to believe? This morning, we celebrated Madison and Miley that they have experienced Jesus Christ and had the confidence and the courage to go before you and I in our baptismal pool and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. That is awesome. Do we as the people believe that transformation happens in everyday life? Or is that just stuff we read about in our Bibles and say, that happened yesterday, but it doesn't happen today? God is in the business of restoring dead marriages. God is in the business of calling those wayward children back into the fold. God is in the business of reviving a dead community. God is in the business of taking back what Satan has claimed for the victory of Jesus Christ. He does these things. He wants these things where you and I actually live like we believe it. 2024. I finished with a reference, and after I made this reference, I recognized that I am super old, right? And it's The Matrix. Some of you remember that, 1999? Keanu Reeves? No? Man, like I said, I'm getting old. Coming up 25 years ago, respectfully, some of you are much older. The Matrix, if you haven't seen it, it's a film about a computer hacker who learns from mysterious rebels about the true nature of his reality and his role in this war against those that control it. So this character, Neo, is having a conversation with Morpheus. Morpheus says to Neo, unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. You're like, okay, not really connecting the dots here. Pastor, what's going on? You have to see it for yourselves. The Christian walk, though, is a corporate event. It's very much personalized. Many of us are living off of the successes and the experiences of our neighbor, but we are not personally walking in that fresh touch, the fresh voice, the fresh anointing of God. And we live off of others propping up a very borrowed faith, when as Morpheus said to Neo, you won't understand it until you see it yourself. May 2024 be the year, the declaration that you say, I want to experience you, God, in a brand new, fresh way. I am tired of living through the faith of others. I want to know you intimately, personally. I want to have your purposes upon me and walking in the obedience to your word. May our declaration for 2024, may my prayer, my hope for you is that you this year experience God in ways you've never experienced before. That the new wine that flows in your life and through your life is contained in a brand new wine skin that is growing and malleable and open to the things of God. Pastor, how do I do that? It starts with obedience to the Word of God. I believe with all my heart that there is someone in this room that the Holy Spirit has touched and pricked. We would say in church circles, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon you. And you don't know all the answers, but something's resonating in your spirit that I need to make myself right with God. And I didn't come here planning to do that, but today's the day. The invitation was given. God saying, today, give your life to my son, Jesus Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, giving you an opportunity to pray to receive Jesus and starting a relationship with God through this one name, Jesus Christ. Others of you, I want to say this respectfully. It's time. It's time. God has been patient with you. He has shown you. He's written it for you. He's took an airplane and a banner across the sky and you saw it. And you still didn't do anything. How many more things do you need for God to say, I'm speaking to you, I've shown you where to go, it's now time. May I speak over you to have the faith, the courage, and the strength to do what you know God has said for you to do. May 2024 not come to the end of next year thinking, I always got next year, bro. No, it's this year. Let's do this. Step up and be obedient. Follow the invitation that God has shown you. What are you going to do with what God has shown you this morning, church? I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I want to speak to those in the room that you feel that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is inviting you to accept Jesus and begin this relationship. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that is you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer right where you sit. There's nothing magical of this prayer. It is the faith that you possess currently, believing in Jesus Christ and opening that door to the relationship with God the Father. If that is your desire, pray this to yourself as I say it aloud. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner and I need help. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand everything, but I believe that this man named Jesus died for my sins. I am calling upon the name of Jesus to save me and forgive me of my sins. Holy Spirit, I invite you now to fill me, to move me into obedience to God's word. God, I ask you to give me the strength to walk and develop my faith. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, will you lift your hand right where you are? I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you walk out. Just right where your hand is, lift it up. Thank you. Put your hands down. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, hands are up. To those that lifted their hands, congratulations. You've made the best decision of your life. Insert some truth to you. It may not change immediately because there's some consequences you have to live with. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God the Father are now your friends and your allies as you move forward. The next step in your decision with Christ is to be baptized and then be growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. We're not pressuring you, but when you're ready to take those steps, we, the people of Pine Grove Baptist Church, are ready to walk with you when you are ready. I'll be down front in a few moments to speak with you. Others will be across the stage to pray. You follow the direction of this new Holy Spirit. He's guiding you. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. To you that are remaining, you are a believer of Jesus Christ. What is it in 2024 that God says, no more, it's time to move forward in faith? Will you be courageous and bold to take those steps as a child of God? Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your word and your death. Thank you, God the Father, for receiving us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance and your illumination as we walk by faith. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we celebrate and praise. Amen.